Ready for the word, is he? Raise your hands together. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive not just information, but accurate and precise revelation of your word and your will today, according to the scriptures. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this time and season, we align ourselves with your purpose and plan in the earth, in our nation, and all around us. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, in today, tomorrow, and days after. He is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's gospel was still on burdens in prayer. I was going to stop, but obviously, it's not time to stop. Hallelujah. And there's just something about knowing the importance of prayer. I'm going to walk away from my notes many times this evening, and I'm going to decide to do that. I believe, like Brother Hagin said, we are yet to get to the depth of the power of prayer. I'm going to read a text that someone shared with me very early this morning. I'm sure he's going to listen to this teaching. He's one of those guys that they have new word media on speed dial or something. What do you call that stuff? Anytime something comes up, they say, Pastor, thank you for... Which one? The one that I was in this yesterday, yes. So we shared something very early this morning, and I'm going to talk about it today. You know, just like the series we're doing on Seated on High, E.W. Kenyon, Brother Hagin, they said something very similar, that the church is yet at its infancy in understanding the rights and privilege we have in Christ and the supernatural. I believe so. I recall having this conversation last year, and where I spoke about the charismatic ministry, and one fellow who helped us review the book, The Walk of the Spirit Through the Ages, I'm itching to have volume 2. No, that's already 3, right? Volume 3B. I just feel that one is not complete at all. You know, and it says at the infancy. So I was sharing with this with the fellow, because we, after the meeting, we came the back door to have this conversation. That is, and I shared some experiences. And then I told him something. I said, many times when it comes to supernatural, it's your consciousness. If you drop the ball at any point, the way it just works is the consciousness that, and I told him some very, very weird experiences that I'd say it in very reserved terms. And he said, oh, wow. You know, and he said, now he now says something, that you Africans, you seem to appreciate the supernatural more. And then not exactly, I think it's because when evangelicals and Orthodox talk about Africa and the supernatural, they more tend to say it as superstition. But the truth is, it's not superstition. It's supernatural. Superstition is when you start to call regular things supernatural. That's where the problem is. But superstition is not when what is supernatural is supernatural. Anyway, we are yet to get to the very we are still at the infancy. And I believe also that Brother Hagin is about prayer. We are yet to call in the credit that we have in prayer. Most of the time, what I found out is we don't tarry long enough to get results. We don't stay long enough at something to get the results. We just, and it goes even with ministry, I'm not called of God. Say, why? After 6 months, the thing did not grow. You don't stay long enough with anything. I was doing a statistics, I think I posted it on my Facebook, and I've seen it before anyway, that usually people always think that a second marriage is equal to the first one in divorce. It's been found out that almost double the rate of divorce for the second marriage for the first one. So it's like, what you thought probably, you didn't want to stick with the first one. You'll have to be stuck with the second one. So usually it's just that thing about not sticking to something. Any little thing will change your mind, you know. And it goes same with prayer and of course the supernatural. So I said to the fellow, I said there's something just about pressing into the things of God. And one thing that I have from the Lord to share with you is that we need to push, alright? You need to, you know how you push something. You push. And good enough, we were talking about the labor pangs of prayer. So don't push and push and push and push. And don't always think things will happen like this. No. You need to push. And that's the nature of the task that we have. I'll break the protocol and I'll go to 2 Timothy 3:16. About the Old Testament. Next time I'll take the normal Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Where Paul says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, then it says instruction in righteousness, which is training. So, which means that I can, the God's word, the scriptures, are a manual to train me, to put me into spiritual exercises. The word padiae has to do with to train up someone. Now, how do you train? You know, you train by precept and by example. Which means that I'm going to read examples of what I'm supposed to do in scripture. I'm going to look at the examples and this is how I will do it or I should do it one way or the other, you know. And you notice that we're talking about prayer, burdens and prayer. And when James was going to talk about prayer, he said, the earnest, effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. James 5:16, then it says, Elijah was a man of like passions. So he brings us an example of a person who prayed. You notice one of the things he said, he prayed that, in minority, he prayed again. Now, let's take that word, he prayed again. Remember when he was, asked his son, said, go and check. He said, check again. You know, so some of us, that first go and check, it's not, maybe I'm not supposed to pray. You know, all these funny things. There's no time prayer is wrong. There's no time. There's no time prayer is wrong. And, you know, there's no time it is wrong. So we have such examples of praying where we look at the depth, the riches that are involved in the praying. So I'm going to share what the fellow said. I know you are waiting. It's not just a simple conversation. Now, he happens to pastor in a city, or I think he went to this city, so now he asked me a question. He said, I am in the same city that Charles Finney had revival 1830 to 1831. So he was trying to tell me that he's somewhere where, I mean, when I read Charles Finney as a secondary school boy, and he was like, God, I read him when I left secondary school. He used to motivate us to stay in the woods and pray. You know, Charles Finney was known for being a revivalist. Though some people believe he was not even a Christian. You know, I mean, some people think they have the signature of Jesus to sign on people's salvation. I don't know, don't sign on this. Just put stamp. So, you know, so he had that. And of course, he had other partners that they were known for going into, and they had this unique thing, which is why he asked this question. And the reason why I'm sharing, because apart from the fact that I answered him, it got me thinking what he said. I probably have thought about it years ago, but you know, most of us, we can, over the years, lose thought of things we desired. So what he did this morning was to remind me. You know, you can, as a younger person, yeah, you felt like, I want to walk the power of God. I want to have healing meetings. And you really worked at it. Then as you were growing up, maybe your challenges in your health too, you probably just forgot that desire that is of God. It's not impossible that it happens to all of us. So when he said it this morning, I gave him the answer. And I said to him, I said, go and listen to Burdens in Prayer. I said, I'm going to come back and talk about this with you. And I was talking to a pastor too earlier today, and he was saying that how this series, and I've heard that from different pastors, how this series just brought something to their minds. You know, certain things that I said within the series. So I didn't even know I said something, someone reminded me today. So when he said I was in the city, and Now, usually, when G. Finney, Charles Ganson Finney, when he goes into a city, the kind of approach they have is to win the whole place. So I remember that there was this story by, I think it was John Hyde, that when he goes to a place, he takes the names of everybody. They collect the names of everybody in the city. Then he begins to pray for everybody one by one. That usually starts with maybe the wildest person, the number one, the chiefest of all sinners. So when I take this one down, in the sense of getting born again, I usually reach the whole city. You know, so those are things that we played around, pardon my language, when he brought it up, I thought about it, and I said, now the younger believer, so let me read it anyway. So he said, the atmosphere of the city doesn't look like it. So that was the question. This doesn't look like what we read of. Of course, it's been years. I gave him a quick answer. I said, well, Jerusalem is not the same thing, even though Jerusalem was never all born again, and the cities that Paul reached. So he now said, is it because of discipleship? You know, that's a word person's answer. And the first thing a word person will think, let's go and teach them. Are you following what I'm saying? So when he said that, then let me quickly finish up the conversation so we can get in on what we are sharing today. Hope you are here. So he now said, sorry, my phone's. Okay, said, the atmosphere doesn't look like it. Lack of discipleship. I didn't answer that. She said, is it possible, and this is what got my attention. Is it possible in our day for a whole city to be saved, Pastor? That's a challenge. So I said, yes. He now said, the next thing he said was what got my attention. He said, Pastor, 201,000 people can be born again and discipled. He was like, you know, we're used to, some will be saved, some will not be saved. You know, that attitude. Let's just preach and announce and get some folks, start a fellowship and leave the rest to go to hell. So when he said that, it's kind of got my attention, because even as much as I knew what he was saying, but the fact that he threw that figure back at me, that I mean everybody here, and I said to him, I said, it's possible. All things are possible. So I now felt that, have we ever pushed for such results? That is really where I'm going. Have we ever tried to push for such results? That, okay, everybody in this estate, everybody in this town, everybody in this village, everybody in this block of flats, you know, at least, let's start with those basic ones, everyone, you know, to hear and be saved. Of course, like you said, discipleship and preaching, I said no, that it's actually first a power of prayer. So have we pushed for that before? That is what we desire. Now we just sang a song, the glory of the Lord fill the earth, that's the gospel. And the intent of what we are saying is that which I just said. But do we carry it out in the way we pray? Are we looking for such kind of results? You know. So I was talking about John Hyde, how they would, and I remember another story about John Wesley, how they went to a town. Somebody was mentioning a particular church that was pastored by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Lloyd-Jones was a reformed person, but he was a bit charismatic, known in the United Kingdom for very, very heavy teaching. You know, was very didactic, exegetical, such that thousands will come and hear him. You know, he would teach sometimes every day. The first day they went back to the same Westminster Chapel and they were just preaching motivation in the same place. And things are taking over and all of that. So, of course, coming to what we're saying. So when he said this, of course, I remember the John Wesley story too. How a guy said he went back there, I think 100 years, and he said, this place is still as sane as John Wesley left it. Nobody was selling liquor. Well, this place is not the kind of place where you sell liquor. But I recall too that there are towns in Nigeria, and I knew that because of the kind of research I did at some point, where there used to be, everybody used to be idol worshippers. Then certain persons, for example, Ayo Babalola, went to some places, and everybody in the town, you know, either got born again, or if you are not, you leave the town. And it was, so such towns today have Christian families. The genesis of those Christian families is the revival that was birthed by prayer. So it seemed to me that, yeah, we'll preach and teach, which is how we get people rooted and grounded in the word and all that they believe, but much is done, I don't want to compare, with praying. It seems to me that we give up too quickly on prayer. And we haven't done even as much enough to even say we have done something. And rather than, you know, get the job done, we are more particular about this day we are going to do 7 hours prayer. And people come, flaunt those things. You know, say we are going to do 20 hours prayer. We are just more particular about going to do this clinical prayer. We are going to, you know. And it's not about doing clinical number of hours prayer. It's about that consistent push to get the job done. You know, are you here? As I'm going through my notes, I'm going to put my notes at some point and, you know, because we're going to a month of October. The month of October is not the month. It's just part of how we are realigning ourselves and aligning ourselves with God's will. It's something we are going to carry on and keep pushing and keep pushing. So, you know, have we even attempted to do that much? I recall something that I have seen before. I have seen this before. That me and some guys, then we began to pray, and we didn't get everybody saved, but we planted the fellowship in a place that, you know, boys and girls, they were known for, you know, all sorts of vices and all that. And we went to plant the fellowship there. That was in 94 to 5, yeah. And we got a good number of those folks, such that things they used to do every day, regularly, like they play football, it stopped. They do parties, it stopped. And we were able to do that. It's just like a mini estate. Maybe a street and maybe a few adjoining folks. And we were able to get that done. So I was thinking when he said that, just like I was sharing with some people a few days ago, I said, why did it win? Because we should always know, many of us know how to start something, but very few of us know how to keep it going. So why did it win? Of course, the first thing I knew was, at that point, a couple of things just, you know, went on. Human beings would bring in humanity, no doubt. So I had to say, okay, what was the point? I recall also going into Ikorodu then, and I said to myself that there are very few Christian fellowships here in the schools. And I began to pray. We did 40 days, then another 40 days. I think the second was 90, I'm not sure. So we went into it, and we began to go to the schools. And we got virtually all the schools have a fellowship in there. So I kind of think that, yes, that was because that was the motive. There was a project. And the project was, we're going to do this. And you're going to pray it and make it happen. So, how much have we pushed and said, this is what we want to get? You know, maybe somebody who is a wayward Christian or a backslid Christian or a non-believer, how long have we taken the person up in prayer and said, you must be born again? And we pushed and pushed till the job was done. Times, just a few hours, a few days. I'm just throwing the towel. And that can't work with prayer. Because prayer is one of the ways you test the fruit of long suffering. It can't work with prayer. That is why the instructions in scripture is continued, James 5:16, continued prayer. Continued prayer. Then you have praying always. Why did they put that kind of, characterization to prayer? Because that is what it is. It's something you keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So, whilst we always, let me give you an idea, we come for a prayer group meeting and there is this sense of, and I use this illustration on Sunday when I was talking to cell leaders, and I have said it somewhere where I preached last week, that is this, I consciously worked against this, because I remember Miles Monroe was one, and he said it very early, I heard it like 31 years ago. It was a tape a friend gave me, TJ, he said that God doesn't call a meeting that you will leave excited. And I felt, I thought, I'm blessed. And he said, no. He said, you don't come to have a good time. Of course, put this in context, not to throw it away and say, we must not rejoice. That's not what he said. That every encounter with God leaves you with a mandate, because God has a mandate in the earth. Now, it's making sense now, what he said. That when you come for a meeting like that, okay, so what am I taking away? So, from that point, when I'm going for meetings, I always go with a note. So when I'm done with a conference, I put it down. So what is this meeting about for me and my ministry? What is this about for me? So I'm able to highlight. You know how you do a management meeting at work, and you say, okay, what are the key issues here? What are the, you know, this is the word I wanted to use now. That, what are we taking out of this? So when he said that, I now said to, okay, this was what I was talking about. That it's a camp meeting. Oh, believers go to WCC. There's this way, you know, and you notice I always tell you it is over. Because I know brethren, you just be giving testimony every day. That first session. That second session. In fact, the middle of the second session. 2 weeks, you are gone giving testimonies. So I just tell you that the most important meeting now is the next one you are having. This is how I explain it, that, you know, if you run a race, and you thought that it was a 100 meters race, so they put the tape, and you know, put all your energy. You know, as you are approaching the tape, let's assume that you were the, Toby Amuson is a better, so you are running like Toby Amuson, you are about, anyway, you know, there's this, sense of fulfillment. So as soon as you go, naturally the momentum will do. I think Boson doesn't stop. But let's assume boat is somebody else. So you keep, you know, the momentum does normally drop. Imagine as you're saying, they say, no, it's 400 meters. You know, to pick up is going to be almost impossible. It's 400 meters. Or like one guy like that thought he had won the race and was already waving. He didn't know that it was, you know. So imagine you finish camp meeting, and we are always going to have camp meeting for tens and tens of years. And like, camp meeting. And they say, there's prayer group meeting. Yeah. You know, you have already there. So you are using. So that means we must be careful how we set targets. Or you wanted your fellowship or your church to be 500. You know, as you hit that 500, the tendency to go, we're there. You know? So, I said that for this purpose. You know, there's a way you can finish a prayer meeting and then you feel you are prayed. Whereas, it should be, I have prayed to keep on praying. So which means one prayer meeting ought to be a stepping board for another prayer meeting. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? So that sense of fulfillment, that's why, that I'm not, this is not wrong. Okay? So don't think I'm speaking against it. But in this community church, we don't do anniversaries for church. We do it for ourselves. We cut cake. We do all that. This is even Robert's birthday. You know, we cut cake. We do all those things. You know, interestingly, we do this thing for, that's what I mean. I celebrate birthdays too, so I'm not saying this, anything that. But the reason why we don't is because we don't want to feel fulfilled. We don't want to feel fulfilled at all. We have to get to the end and say, we're done. Then we are fulfilled. I remember somebody told me this is very interesting. I said, we thought I've already done in university. I've done enough ministry. Yeah. Someone's telling me that can I be going for vacation? Cell leader. I said, when you are now pastoring His transition to glory. But it's true. If you have 30 members, and you're saying you are going for vacation, who will trust you with 1,000? God will just say, this one has 200. This one will just be sleeping. Let's give people that serious. I mean, it's not office job. That I say, you know, in my office we take 30 days leave, we take it, blah, blah, blah. No. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, you must build momentum in prayer and not kill momentum. Are we here? So I want to change the way you attend prayer meetings. Are you following what I'm saying? You say, we don't say, I breathe this afternoon. It's enough for the day. You keep breathing, right? So this is the same way we pray. You must see prayers. One is a stepping board to another. That is why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Right? Ephesians 6:18, praying always. If something is always, that means when we say amen, we are not done praying. We are only done praying in that place. How does that sound? So when we say amen, it's not that, so if I'm praying, for example, if I say I'm praying for faith, it may be misconstrued. Because faith is both a person and a noun in this context. If I'm praying for Onyi, that's complicated. If I'm praying for Onyi, that makes more sense. Okay, Onyi is Onyi, you know, we're praying for Onyi. Why is he praying for honey? Is he so hungry? So I'm praying for Yika and I pray for him, and Yika seems to have picked up, and maybe initially he was a Chelsea fan and God has rescued him, and so God has helped him. Sorry, cowboy. Now. So, and then I think he's better, and I'm saying, thank you Lord. You know, we say that, we thank you, we pray, we thank you Lord. Usually that is why we now see counterproduction. Because we are not supposed to stop praying for him. Pray without ceasing. Praying always. So we are quick to see signs, sometimes just signs of the results. And we think that's all. So we must see prayer as not just an event of our lives, but something that goes with our entire Christian life. So stop killing the momentum. You know, imagine finishing a prayer meeting. What do we say after prayer meetings? You know, a prayer meeting, you go, hey, half an hour. We quickly feel we have done the praying because pastor said 3 hours, so we have done 3 hours. So imagine finishing a prayer meeting and, you know, just saying something about the prayer that, you know, just continue praying and we just like stir ourselves up. I mean, we'll get more things done. We have gotten to the infant stages. We have not crossed it. That's why I said that when he asked that question, it did something in my heart. That's true. Why are we not going full scale? Because we're not ready for it. We always do things half measure. And I said this somewhere last week that I remember Bishop Oyedepo saying this, and that inspired me a lot. He said, guys, he told his colleagues then, that there was someone who, now, Bishop Oyedepo has a way of speaking that if you're not careful, you pick up competition from what he's saying. But I don't think it was competition, because what he said was, you are doing ministry, some in the morning, some, you're just trying to, he said, nobody. He said, you are doing it halfway. He said, we're going full measure. Said nobody that does it halfway will get the kind of results we'll get. Said nobody. Now, of course, take that away from competition and just see it like, yes, I mean, we should give our all to the work of the ministry. So I want us to pick prayer from that we should throw ourselves to the heart of prayer, where it is not just an event that we do during prayer group meetings or we do in the mornings as prayer chain, but something that any time of the day you can pick it up. Are you here? Any time of the day you can, and you'll be sensitive enough not to think the only time she must pray must be in the morning and the evening. If you are like that, you are off what I'm talking about. You can pick it up any time of the day. Let me say something. Prayer stirrings are for every minute of the day. So imagine if you limit yourself to in the morning and in the evening, and then the middle you just throw it open to any other activity, then that's very careless. So we do have a responsibility to see prayer as a continued thing. You know, that's why I just believe that we might pray afterwards, but I'm not really particular about us praying here. We are already unbelievers. You pray. I mean, you are born again. Except, you know, like I always try to say that you didn't go to the Lord. You went to the thief on the left hand. If you are born again, yeah, if people are praying, if you are a believer and you are born again, some things are given. And I will easily know whether you are not born again. People are praying and you are feeling, you may feel bad that you are not praying. You may feel lazy and not praying, but you can't be against them praying. That's a sign that you are not born again. You just will pray. I mean, look at Saul of Tarsus. Nobody told him to pray. He was praying. He was seeing that in the moment. So, but the thing is about seeing it as you. I want us to get to a point that you don't need Bro Beckley to tell you to pray. Do you get it? And when that has to happen, and then he's saying that, did you attend the prayer group meeting? When that has to happen, it's usually a problem. I've said it to you many times, I've never had the cause to need a sermon to give. Never. I was going for someone's birthday a few years ago, and I took some money, and someone said, I was going for a birthday of somebody who has been a blessing to you. You don't go to, and I took money. I said, no, that's how I do it. You know, if someone has blessed, it's not, I don't need a sermon. I don't need him to tell me. It's something I grew up knowing. I don't need a sermon to do that. You need a sermon. Ah, someone said, well, I started praying. Ah, when I heard that teaching, bodies and prayer, I knew I had to pray. How many times will you be needing teaching? You always need teaching. You need teaching. No. It's high time we grow up. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
So that when I hear it, it's not to remind me that I should pray. It's to keep me focused on what I'm doing. So, I must develop a personal habit of prayer. What did I say? Of burdens, picking up burdens to pray. I must develop a personal habit. A personal habit. A pastor was telling me about someone who used to be an associate and, you know, and all that. I said, so the pastor said it two times. The second time I said, why not let's pray for this person? And the good thing was, the real gist was that, and I found this really, really important. I said, I like this person. That said, how, why do you like this? I said, there was something you said. Concerning this person. I said, okay, fine. Why not let's pray? So when I said let's pray, I said, look, give or take. If we give this a few months, this person will be stable. If we can do this consistently, then I'm very sure. So he said, yeah. So when we were talking last week, he said, exactly, the person has caught fire, has done this one, has done that one. I said, but I told you, you know, that if you love somebody, it should translate into praying for the person. And, you know, picking up burdens. You know, we're talking about burdens, about burdens to prayer for maybe the lost. What about burdens for your friends? For your spouse? For your children? That, you know, you don't just always say, you know, because everything God does in the earth, He starts with prayer. Now, that also deals with people that are around me, people that are my friends, people that are my colleagues, you know. And you know, ask your pastors very well. When we hear anything in the body of Christ about maybe a ministry, first things we say is we are going to pray about these things for these people. Some of them are not even people that we believe are like. Our job is to pray. Our job is not, did you hear that? By the time you do all those things, you disconnect yourself from praying. So it's either you are gissing about it or you are praying about it. You can't do both. Are you here? You cannot gist about it, then pray about it. It's either you are gisting about it, or you are praying about it. That's why I've told you, never, this is me, and I'm saying as your pastor, you may not like it. All those kits Now there are, I mean, different skits like that people do. Entertainment is good. I mean, it's of God. It's a talent that is from God. So nobody should throw it entertainment. I like entertainment. Yeah, I, of course, I also entertain, you know, because not on the pulpit. But you see, when you start seeing an entertainment that derides the things of God, then you have to be very careful. So for me, I don't even, if the moment I see a pastor in view, whether positive or negative, I'm not going to watch it. Satan always plays the long game for you. Because at the end of the day, look at you just this life has more spiritual implications than you imagine. So you cut yourself from stuff like that. From, oh, somebody is sharing something, there's one news. I don't get to read stuff like that. I'm not interested. You understand? Because like I said, either you are gisting or you are praying. You can't do the two. So that's the one you want to do. Pick the one you want to do. So, let's get back to what I said. So is that how watch out for that momentum. It's like a momentum destroyer. That we are done praying. No, we were not done praying. We were done praying in that place. Is that a better way to say it? Mm-hmm. To continue praying elsewhere. To continue praying as we drive home. To continue praying as we go to bed. To continue praying when we wake up. Does that make sense? Continue praying. So, we continue to pray. So let me say this for those of us who lead prayer. Watch the way you close prayer meetings. Just say, praise the Lord. So as we go, let's keep praying about these things. How about that? Uh-huh. That's, you should always give everyone a reminder, you know, to keep praying about what we prayed about. Because even when we get something done, we got so and so person born again. Our prayer doesn't stop because he's born again. It actually continues. We got someone, you know, to respond to God's calling to the ministry. Our prayer still doesn't stop because he's now in the ministry. I mean, look at how every time you pray for your pastor. This is you, you know. You are praying for me every day. You are praying for me every day. You know, almost like I'm going to backslide. So, the same thing, you have to keep praying for people. Sometimes we stop praying for our children. No, we keep praying for them. Keep praying for your spouse. Keep praying for, you know, keep praying. You know, in that regard. Are you here? Genesis 32 again. So, develop a prayer habit on your own. So that when you come to church, 32 and 24, where Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled. The key word there is he is alone. And we can have such rich encounters. Okay? In the place of prayer. So prayer in the public place should be an overflow of what you do alone. And prayer that you do alone should be an inspiration or should be inspired by praying with others. So they work together. But let me tell you the one that is not safe. You are always praying with people and you cannot pray when you get home. That is not safe. At all. It's not safe. It means that you don't value prayer. That's what it is. So it's found alone. Now we're going to see this in the pattern of Jesus. I love that song by Jackie. When I'm in the crowd, I'm by myself. You should be able to pray when others are not praying. You should be able to pray when others are not praying. That is, you're not in a prayer meeting. And people around you are not praying. That doesn't stop you from praying. A burden to pray can be stirred up, received outside prayer meetings. Many times outside prayer meetings. So here Jacob is alone. Left alone. So, how often do you pray alone? You pray alone. And there he wrestles with the will of God. Let's look at Jesus now. Luke 3. Luke is where I focus. He documents much of the prayer life of Jesus, because it's believed that he gave us a lot of more humanity in Jesus. You have to pray because you're a person. I've said it over the years. Some people took me up on it and said, I said, God will trust a man that prays more than a man that knows the word. But I always say that, however, a man who knows the word will be a man of prayer. But the emphasis I'm trying to tell you is that there's a whole lot that happens because people pray. There's a whole lot that happens because people pray. So, Luke 3 is at John's baptism, and he was praying. The heavens were open. He was the only one praying. He was the only person praying. What's going to happen there? Call it his ordination. Call it his showing forth to Israel. The truth is, every time God wants to do anything in the earth, he first gets us what?
Praying.
So he is in the midst of people, but he's praying. So praying alone doesn't always have to be you are in your house. It just means that you have developed a pattern of picking up what God is doing in the midst of all activities. I just pray. So you can use many opportunities available to you to pray. I met someone, and I think this person was highly used of God, a banker. And this fellow, I love this part that I saw. This person is well known in Nigeria. And well, having a conversation, and the person said, look, that I drive to my office very early. Because the house is not too far. She's on the island, the head office is on the island. So I get to my office very early. And what this person does is high level banking. I mean, top management, senior, not just senior management, I mean, top. So I get there early, and I ensure that in the morning, I spend at least 1 hour, 3 minutes, 2 hours. But I say, at your level? I say, yeah. I do it. Because I had a meeting, I went to the person, and I found out that you're early. I say, I have to be here. You know, I have to pray. And I know that if I stay at home, I come, I'm in traffic. I say, well, that's quite some discipline. You know, I said, one more thing. I said, look, and also, no matter what I do, I have the time, I put up my phone. So if I put on my phone, I said, usually nothing is going to happen. The world will not crash. Pray. So whatever will have crashed if I put on my phone, won't crash if I pray. That's all having a confidence in prayer. Well, some people have just been management training. They stop praying. They are very busy. My engineer has stopped praying. When you become the MD, you give God back the Holy Ghost. What do I need this for, man? I'm a big man, man. So you know what? You should just develop that thing. So in the midst of all the activity, he's praying. Because you know very well that in the midst of many activities, either you are singing Buga. Oh, you didn't get that. So if you are doing the day, you are doing something else. Just think, I know, I'm also office work. It's not just office. It's not true. You are gisting. You are busy. It's not true. You gist. You listen to this, all sorts of things. You Facebook. You tweet. You TikTok. And you say, I'm busy. It's not true. You can pick up burdens and be busy. Let burdens make you busy. Those moments. So I say, you know what? Sometimes I just need to just have fresh air. That's what I'm saying. Fresh air, pick up bodies to pray. So here he is alone and he is praying. In Luke 6, of course we find in Luke 4, where again we find solitary. Luke 6 and verse 12. It came to pass in those days, He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Somebody was going to say, you know, somebody just got new creation realities then in the middle 90s and said that when we come to this place of the knowledge of who we are in Christ, since we know everything has been done, we'll just spend time thanking God. So I think the person now found out that there's a scripture like this. I said, you think Jesus will spend all night praying? No, he's not an ignoramus. He knows what has been done. He's just lifting his hands and thanking the Father. Hey. John 17 doesn't look like that. He was making petition. And he's thanking the Father, and blood is coming out of his body. Ah. That Thanksgiving, get clean leg. They are giving them a go, thank you. Thank you. Are you okay? You are okay, you are giving thanks. That means they beat you.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what you just say? Well, what we have in Christ, and yeah, you are no longer even in Christ again. You know? Because even the Christ was not in Christ. You know? He was made that way. Look at the next thing he does. The next day he calls his disciples. So you are training people for ministry, and you don't have this kind of prayer pattern. You always will complain. All the people that I even thought that they were trained for ministry, I didn't even know they didn't have anything. Did you spend this kind of time praying? You rely so much on the fact that you can teach them, you can talk to them, they will listen to you. We have not spent the time in prayer. I remember reading Power Through Prayer by E.M. Bounds. I read that book about 30 years ago. And first things he said, one of the things he said, quoting Robert Murray Machini, he said, he that will talk to men for God must first learn to talk to God for men. A very basic principle. He that will talk to men for God must first learn to talk to God for men. So here's Jesus again all day, all night, spending praying. Before then, look at Luke 5. I skipped it. I don't know why I skipped it. Luke 5:16. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. It's such a consistent culture of Jesus to stay away and stay alone. Now this doesn't mean just that, please, everybody excuse me, I want to pray. No. Or some guys that when they want to do all those pharisistic prayer, and I'll be praying, good morning. Stay away. Ah. That one, you are praying to us. There's nothing, there's nobody. You know? So, Luke 5:16, we read that. Matthew 14:23 records it the same way. Yeah, where you find Jesus alone. And, in fact, he sent people away in 22 and went to the mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, here he was there alone. He did this all day. The earlier ones, he did it all night. Mark 1:35. The great morning before the day, he went out and departed to a solitary place to pray. Again, very early. So see his prayer pattern, very early, during the day, late at night, overnight. So there is no time I can't pick up a burden to pray. Is that clear? It's not just vigils. There is no time I can't be stirred to pray. If you can excuse yourself to use the restroom, then excuse yourself to go and take lunch, breakfast or dinner out of your busy schedule, can excuse yourself to attend to one or two things, quickly get to the mall and pick something. Can excuse yourself, you can excuse yourself to pray. Is that clear? Uh-huh. So have this thing about your prayer life. Call it pray as you go. Luke 9 and verse 18. Don't miss this consistent narrative. Luke 9:18. It came to pass, it was alone praying. There's too much recorded in this regard that you cannot miss it. Jesus had more time praying alone than he prayed with people. More time. Luke 11:1, again they found him in a certain place. He was praying. Luke 11:1. So this is too consistent to miss it. It's too consistent. You can't miss this part. And we said that it's not just about living to a mountain or that. It's about that attitude of having a solitary part of your day. The honest truth is this. I tell people this without mincing words. One of the signs of spiritual growth is being conservative. You can't find a talkative person, a person who is talkative. He will lose so much in talking so much. When we were younger, as Christians, I'm still young, and you teach us a bit about spiritual things. You tell us that when you are talking, you leak spiritual power. L-E-A-K. That may not be really accurate in the expression, but the truth is that when you get, oftentimes you burn a lot of energy and you get drowned. Get drained, spiritually speaking. Let's do more talking in prayer. Is that clear? Okay. So, again, look at the background. Before Jesus came in Luke 2:25, we saw a man by the name of Simeon who was waiting. Luke 2:25, it says he waited for the consolation of Israel. Anybody who knows waiting, you know that waiting involves praying. If you miss that one, you will miss the woman, daughter of Phanuel, who in 37, she served God in fastings and praying night and day. Imagine someone praying every day about the same issue. Now, we don't even know how many years. See how many years she did it. She was a widow, 84 years. She didn't leave the temple and serve God. Basically, she kept being seen there. So, without much ado, we don't want to... It appears she prayed for that number of years. For one thing. And I think what she prayed for was worth it, right? The effect is not for that number of years. It's happening now, right? So, imagine that, praying about the same thing again and again and again and again and again and again, and then she saw it. She didn't see a sign. She saw what she prayed for. Because in 38, it says, she coming in that instantly gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all of them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Luke 22. Remember how we started that the question the brother asks, the pastor is a brother too, definitely, can we get these results? I said, have we asked? We have not asked for it now. We have not. Rather than praying, looking for strategies. What do people need? Maybe we should do that. Have we even asked? Have we pushed for this kind of result? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Have we pushed for this kind of result? Have we pushed for what Finney pushed for and said, look, have you ever said, okay, this area has about 16 houses and most of them are Muslims, many of them are Jesus. I'm going to pray these people born again. Have you pushed for that kind of result before? I said, I'm going to make sure that this happened. Have you tried to even say your family and say, I'm going to pray this whole family born again? No. These are things that we can ask for it, right?
Yes, sir.
And the burdens will keep coming. Sometimes in the form of sadness, sorrow, forms of pain, discontent. You know, someone shared this to me today. They said, Pastor, you highlighted something that I never had to sit back. That you said that burden can come from discontent. And rather than pray with you, we try to criticize. So I pick something major there. I say, yes, you sit back and criticizing this one and all that. Rather than taking time to actually pray. Prayer makes us more effective. In whatever we do. Alright? Luke 22. So have we asked for such results? That's what I'm saying here. Luke 22. Here's Jesus again. He's praying. He's going to the cross. And he prayed, verse 43, 39 to 44 visually, but he prayed such that the sweat was picked up as blood. Anytime God wants to do anything in the earth. How many of you know he's doing something in the earth? You know? You sense it yourself, right? Do you? Do you? Okay. So if you do that, that means that he always wants us praying. So look at this. He prayed before the cross. Now notice that when he rose from the dead and he spent 40 days with the disciples, and we don't have details of their prayer life at that point. Acts 1. All he told them was, "Tie the city of Jerusalem, be power from on high. Tie the city of Jerusalem." And just like saying, "Don't worry, we're going to, let me get, okay, there will be a move of the Spirit, let's move like this. We're going to have a move of the Spirit in October." Oh, glory! They were rejoicing, true. Luke 24:52. Woo, thank you, Lord Jesus. And then, Bartholomew gives a prophecy, maybe in church in Ugudu, and he says, this is what the Spirit of God is doing. And we just say, hallelujah. And we write it down. And you know, just that same way he said to them, he said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you," Acts 1:8. It's just the same way. He intimated what God wants you to do. They were sensible to know what to do when God talks to you. Acts 1:15. 14 and 15, they continued with one accord in prayer. Now, obviously, that prayer didn't start with this. They continued with prayer and supplication. So we know that the day of Pentecost was a prayer meeting. We also know that when people got born again, they continued Acts 2:42 in prayer. By Acts 3:1, we see Peter and John go to the temple in the hour of prayer. By Acts 4:24, they were praying, lifted up their voice in one accord. By Acts 6, they were ordaining people into ministry. And again, in verse 6, they prayed. In fact, they said, Acts 6:4, will not leave the word of God and serve tables, give ourselves continually to prayer to the ministry of the word. By Acts 9, we could even add Acts 8, where they came down, so they prayed, verse 15, for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Actually, every chapter has prayer. Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus. This is a very intriguing one. You know, Jesus said to him, look at this one. The elders threatened them, and they prayed. They didn't say, today we just say, this is religious discrimination. They are not allowing the church to function. You find pastors are now saying, we cannot, how can they say we cannot use the stadium? No, we have equal rights with the devil. They will pray. There's no way. We'll pray. There's not about prayer. I know somebody who is the governor's daughter. Call the governor. Hey. As though we lose the virility of praying. They pray. Look at Paul. Jesus appeared to him and says, look at the instruction he gave him. Verse 6. Arise and go to the city. It shall be told thee what you must do. So when he got up, he saw no man. The next thing he does, verse 9, he is fasting. Simple. God is doing something fast. Then Ananias met him praying. Verse 11. Behold, he prayed. So wait for what I'm about to say now. So how do I get a burden to pray? Every instruction from God carries what? A burden. Every warning, a burden. Every assignment, a burden. Let's put something. Every sermon, a burden. So burdens will come. Every interaction we have with God about His will is a burden to pray. It didn't have to be told. So 3 days. This is a new convert. Of course, yes, fine, the Pharisee before then, and immediately you knew that if God is doing anything, that's great. Look at the one in Acts 10. I put something here. It's interesting. Two folks, Acts 10, you had Cornelius, not yet a Christian. Verse 2, he's praying. He saw a vision. Acts 10, 9, Peter went up to pray. He saw a vision. Can you see two people were praying and they connected each other? Two people. They didn't know each other. Or maybe if they knew each other, I thought they were not relating. But prayer brought them together in the will of God. Acts 12:5 was a church praying there. I skipped Acts 12:5. Acts 13:1 to 3, they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Verse 3, they fasted and prayed. Acts 16, Paul, in Acts 14, 23, ordaining the elders, they prayed. Acts 16 and 25, Paul and Silas in jail, they also prayed. You can't, there's no way you can see God's activities in the earth outside of prayer. Acts 28 verse 8, Paul prayed for whom was sick. So I said here, burdens are picked up in the spirit. And before I get to that, I put some things here I will just mention. Oftentimes when God is telling things like this, it gets us into a repentance. Repentance is not that you are sorry you've done something evil, no. Repentance is something you had forgotten, you're not paying attention to. He stirs your heart in that direction. Amen. How many of you know God does that a lot? You know that? He does it a lot. Now, if your Christian life is such that God has never, recently, he's not pointing your attention to anything, or more, leave it, you're not growing, you know. He's always telling us something. He's always putting attention on something we had either forgotten, or we're not putting emphasis on. That's repentance. Joel talked about that, you know. And they'll use sacrifice and ask, oh God, we forgot this. Oh God, we're not doing this. And so we get ourselves, you know, into that picture and say, no, we're supposed to do this. The next thing is prayer. It gets us, and if this first one doesn't happen, the prayer passion is short-lived. If you are not like, there's something we should be doing, or there's something we got wrong we should do, there's something we have not put attention on, and that conviction builds prayer better than any other thing. So when that is done, then we begin to pray. In Acts 1:6, they were saying, look, we've heard the word. He said, would you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you. That's repentance. But to know the times and the seasons where the Father has put in his own power. So there are times like that you have gone in this direction and that's not where I should go. What has happened? He calls you to start praying. This is ministry, folks. They had missed it. They felt they were supposed to be looking out for the kingdom. And he says, no, that's not what we're supposed to look out for. Same as Saul of Tarsus. So I said here, the first thing is that you pick it up in the spirit, which you should be always. A believer must be spirit conscious. You hear me? Yes. Must be spirit conscious. That is a stand somewhere. We pick it up in fellowship. In fellowship. Just as we are right now. Just some things will just be said. And I heard the last one. We pick it up in distress. When things are not comfortable. You know, I found out that many of us, rather than pray, we walk into worry, anxiety, depression, and backslide. That gap, I first heard Clifford Dollar say this. He said, it is never a power problem because God's power is given to us. It's not a faith problem. It's not a righteousness problem. He said, if there's any failure of a believer, it's a prayer failure. I sat back and said, that's really true. It's a prayer failure. A failure to pray. So I was talking to a pastor a couple of days ago and I said, you see, the thing is, I was talking about prayer. The person has set all the plans. I said, have you prayed about it? I was like, so even though this plan looks okay, I can't fault it. But what do I know? I don't pray. It's about ministry, it's about, yeah, well, pray about it. So you have to. So, you pick up burdens in the spirit, pick up burdens in fellowship, and I'll end the way I started. So that you don't build a momentum that stops after a prayer meeting, that stops after a retreat. You know, I had this great retreat. Ah! And you pray down the heavens and the earth. Then you just slip back into normal mode. Take prayer like what you must always continue. So every time you finish a prayer meeting, always say to be continued. To be continued when I get home, to be continued as I'm driving, to be continued tomorrow morning. That should be what informs you and the way you pray. So have a personal prayer culture. So you know, you can, so every day, like the example I gave on momentum, you know that I didn't stop praying last night too. I only stopped praying in the house to continue at work when I have free space, to continue in the evening after prayer group meetings, I continue. So I should be able to leave a prayer meeting even though we are praying for 3 hours and I'm driving and I'm still praying, right? I'm being driven, I'm still praying under my breath, and just like Jesus, I'm praying, I begin to pray. And one thing I can tell you is that is going to happen to us as we listen to this instruction. We're going to have abundance of revelations and visions. It's a normal consequence. It's not, we're going to have much of it. You know what I said by saying that we haven't really asked for certain things. We haven't. Lord, this is what we want. This is what I want. I was saying this earlier today, just this evening. I sense those in Fortress Mission. And I probably will just call you. You are here. If you are in the Fortress Mission and you are part of the team, and you teach, you can stand. I sense that you have much to pray about. And to just you know, pray about it. You don't know how much lives are in your care. You're almost like a whole 30, 40 years ahead is given to you in 1 year of encountering someone. So that if you miss that one here, it might be a huge loss. Amen. Let's all just pray.